energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Motherfucking story in the damn heat. Mind just face it when he passes to me. Shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Talking shit, pin your neck with my name. You blend it on the lousy weather media network.
My new favorite entrance theme, Derek. Y'all like it? Shinsuke Nakamura, man.
I don't like his entrance.
You don't like his entrance music?
The music's not as good as it.
Shinsuke Nakamura, dude. You're not a Shinsuke Nakamura fan? Shinsuke Nakamura is my favorite wrestler. I haven't felt this way about a wrestler since probably Kurt Angle 2007.
I would take Austin Aries over.
Austin Aries has been boring lately. Shinsuke Nakamura is always good. Austin Aries has been boring lately. Shinsuke Nakamura, the king of strong style. The Michael Jackson of pro wrestling. And when this music hits and he's like, oh, like people can't see me dancing right now, but I'm dancing for you. I'm doing the Shinsuke Nakamura dance.
You're not doing it quite right.
You don't think I'm doing it right?
You gotta do your little handshake.
The fucking, shit. I was trying to do the Ali G Booyakasha. Shit, but no. Me... So, I hopped on the Shinsuke Nakamura bandwagon in 2014, I want to say it was. Was it 2014? Maybe it was 2015. 2015. Wrestle Kingdom 9 or whatever it was when Global Force partnered with New Japan and then they did the cross pay-per-view or whatever. And that was my first time ever experiencing Nakamura, and I was blown away at just how fluid and well and funny he works and how well he translates to America.
He's a good wrestler, just not my favorite. Mm-hmm.
He's my favorite. Shinsuke Nakamura.
He's just not my favorite.
It really, like, I watched NXT this week, as you did, I'm sure.
Yeah, I watched it.
And the opening match was Nakamura against Wesley Blake.
Didn't like the Blake guy too well. But,
you see, you haven't been watching NXT. Now you're just a convert. Yeah. Okay, Blake, he's been in a tag team called Blake and Murphy for a while.
Yeah, I seen that whole thing and them splitting
up. Yeah, they did the promo.
They're doing their little split up deal. You know how they do them.
They had him in that, and just the way Nakamura works, man, is just so fun and fluid to work or watch. His little motions and his moves, his comedy in the ring.
Like, I liked his match the week before against Finn Balor. And
the way he kicks people.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's a good wrestler. I'm just not a huge fan.
So anyway, it's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast, episode number 2. I'm Sean Ast.
And I'm Derek.
Derek's here. Say hi.
Hello.
So we, last week was just a solid Battleground review, right?
Yeah.
This week, we're actually going to dive into the professional wrestling business and give the Lousy Weather fresh take on it.
Yeah, our perspective of what we think of the brand.
That's the new thing with Lousy Weather Media is my new thing in every description is to say Lousy Weather Media gives a fresh take on whatever.
This is our new era.
Like we give a we are officially in a new era of Lousy Weather Media. So I've started rebranding things to like Lousy Weather Media Network on iTunes and shit, and then
I'll take that over Stormy Cloud.
Stormy Cloud. So that sounds like a fucking stripper name. Next on the stage. Stormy Cloud.
And in 3 weeks, the producers from WWE will have a brand new wrestler featuring Storm Cloud.
Storm Cloud. So I redid all the descriptions. You know, I had to come up with a new description for this move, this network move to our new host and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, Lousy Weather Media gives a fresh take on... So that's my new thing, is we give a fresh take. That's what it says on our Facebook now, on our fucking... We give a fresh take on pop culture, entertainment...
Pretty much everything.
Comedy, on all of our shows. If you think about the main show, I Can't Read, Lousy Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much cover everything. Now we're throwing in some wrestling.
We're giving fresh takes in the world. So anyway, this show, we're actually going to kind of... follow a format instead of last week just being a basic review. Right. So
yes, less sidebars we discussed.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah.
You think we'll go for less sidebars? So yeah. What were you what have you been up to this week, Derek? Before we get to some wrestling.
Chilling, working.
Just playing working.
Some universe.
Still
mode
playing
here.
WWE 2K12. Yeah. I mean, god damn it. 2K16.
Yeah,
I did this on the Lousy Weather Media main show this past week. I don't know if you listened to it, but with Matt Farkas and Michael Kalinich, right? And Matt Farkas hosts a video game podcast called Games Gone Awry. So I started explaining how our game of 2K16 went awry.
Yes.
And I fucking said WWE 2K12 twice. And without even like it didn't even dawn on me that I was saying the wrong thing.
So
I was like, we're playing WWE 2K12 and the game's freaking out. And
he's
then,
probably
and then,
just fucking looking at you like 2K12, dude. Really? Like, are you fucking serious?
I even
you're a
said
fucking
it,
loser if you're playing 2K12.
I even said it again. Like I was like, I even said 2K12 one more time after that, and I was like, damn, I said it again. That's how bad this was. And then then I finally, like another minute or so later, say 2K16. So it just, my continuity's all fucked up. People are like, yeah, you probably were playing 2K12.
All right, I'll just give you the credit. You're splitting the difference between your 2K14 and my 2K16, and you're just cutting the difference to 2K12. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you're stuck on a 2K12 binge. I get it.
That's the last one I remember, apparently. But anyway,
must've been
so
your favorite.
You've been playing the 2K16 still. You're deep in the universe.
Kind of pissed now, 2 months later, and now it's fucking free on Xbox One. Mm. You know, for
you
fucking free.
You could have got
the game
free.
Yeah, I could get it fucking tomorrow, 7 a.m., free download, 2K fucking...
Yeah.
I think it's the first. It might be the August 16th.
Yeah,
but
tomorrow's first.
Either fucking way, it's fucking free this coming month, and it's like, goddamn, spent $30 for... Or I could have fucking waited.
Yeah.
But
I dealt with the sunburn still... Like, you saw me last week, I was a lobster.
Yeah.
Well, this week, my arm right here just had this giant, big, like, dead skin thing. So, like, dead skin's just been falling. Whoa.
Oh.
A bell for dead skin. I just have been having dead skin falling off my arm.
I guess your arm thought that was funny.
I'll be... My other arm was like, hell yeah,
dead skin, motherfucker.
But, yeah, so it's been, like, I've been able to just, like, peel it off, like, this big, like... Giant dead skin fucking.
So have you made any furniture, lampposts, anything special?
No, with the dead skin?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, people do have those fetishes.
I was thinking about, like, saving it for something, but I was like, my DNA is, like, I, like, tried to destroy it. I was like, this is all my DNA. If someone gets murdered here, they're going to find my dead skin here. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, he did it.
He did it.
His dead skin was underneath
everywhere.
His dead skin was underneath the stove in this random apartment. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
that's hilarious.
Because if my dead skin fell off onto, like, a customer or something, and then... And then they die, and then my dead skin is on them. I'm suspect number one because my DNA comes back on them because my dead skin. You know what I mean,
Mr. Forensics here.
Yeah, it's a lesson to
too much CSI in your life.
This is a lesson to anybody who's going out there doing anything.
Pretty much is what he's trying to tell you. Is no more sun tanning.
Yeah, wear sunblock on your arms and your face.
It is forbidden
when you stand in the sun. I mean, most people with common sense would do this. I don't have to tell anybody except for the people of my intelligence level and lower.
Oh, that's horrible.
Go wear sunblock when you go to Warped Tour.
I thought that was just given.
Or your dead skin will be falling on people and you might get framed for murder.
You might be suspect number one over a sunburn.
All right, Derek. That's hilarious. You want to, you ready to get into some topics?
Yeah, let's dive right on them.
What's up? My bad, I didn't mean to drown you out. Let's dive right on. But I was like, I was ready for Shinsuke.
You're all about it. You're all about the Shinsuke.
Hell yeah. They need both. My hair tie went flying off my mic stand. But, you know, I always say that on podcasts, too, that my hair tie on my mic stand, and I don't think I've ever once explained on podcasts that my pop filter I use on my microphone is completely destroyed and broken and it doesn't hold right, but I've used it for fucking, like, 5 years, so why change? So I've always just put a fucking hair tie on the microphone.
I'm just shocked it hasn't come up missing recently with what, the cat hair fetish.
Tie? Yeah, the cat. Bobby gave the fetish and, for rings.
I'm shocked.
And hair ties. But Bobby gave the cat a new toy. It's got a little bear, and the cat just cuddles with it now.
Now she thinks she's a mother. Awesome. Mm.
So
now she's going to be even more brutal with her hair ties. You better watch out, Sean.
All right, let's get into some topics here. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about, we'll get to WWE in a minute. But I wanted to talk to your boy. I want to talk about your boy, Jeff Hardy, right? The deleted. Oh, speaking of TNA, you did want a sidebar on TNA. What is, like, okay, Matt Hardy does this shit where he's going, delete, right? And he's yelling, he's getting people to chant it with him and shit. And
he has his wife chanting some.
I think it looks
coming down to the ring.
I think it looks eerily similar to some fucking Nazi, like, delete, like. Fucking Bobby, every time Bobby was doing it, like, I started fucking Hitler saluting
Bobby
next to him.
Bobby got hypnotized,
like,
to it.
Bobby's walking through the room going, delete, and fucking, I was like, dude, you're marching and fucking, like, if you've never seen it, you, like, throw your hand off your chest kind of in the air, and you yell, delete. Sig Howl, and you fucking do a little march. I didn't know if I was down with all this. But anyway, okay, so Jeff Hardy, this fucking odd-ass story come out the other night, after the gathering of the Juggalos last week, right? That Jeff Hardy had, like, weird head injuries and needed to be taken to the hospital and shit, and that he was on drugs and crazy. Because apparently he wrestled Willie Mack, and after the match, he went crazy and started. This is the original report, that he started just breaking tables and ladders in the ring. And
so
then
he turned into Sabu, is what you're telling
me. And then he climbed a ladder with a cardboard cutout of Arnold Schwarzenegger and held it in there. Okay, so that was the original story. It gets even more bizarre, to be honest with you. So everybody naturally was like, oh, fuck, Jeff Hardy's falling off the wagon. We need to go talk to him. We got to see what's up. He's obviously on drugs again, you know. So
shocked me.
They asked Jeff Hardy I have footage of it right here, kind of. Some of the stuff I can show you here. Hopefully it's not too loud. See if it pops open. Yeah, yeah. So basically, here's just him destroy. Like, he's like just breaking a ladder. It was funny that, like, first time I watched this, I was like, I was like, what fucking song is that? It took me a minute to remember this was his WWE theme before he quit or got fired or whatever. But honestly, it's not as. People are in the crowd going, like, what the fuck, and shit like this. But obviously, it's not as crazy as it.
I am shocked that video is still on YouTube. That is WWE infringement on the
music.
For the music. I am shocked.
Did you know how those greedy motherfuckers are?
Yeah, and YouTube's really quick to make copyright claims.
Like, I'm more shocked about that song being allowed in the video.
Like, one time,
more than what he's doing.
We had a video with a guy playing a cover of a Coldplay song. And apparently he played it so well that YouTube recognized it as that song and fucking was like stealing all the money generated off that video and sending it straight to Coldplay for stealing their music. And I was like, fuck, it's a cover. Like, fuck off, Coldplay. But anyway,
that's our money.
So that was Jeff Hardy destroying stuff. So Jeff Hardy's response.
This is before Thursday's show, correct?
What, Impact?
Yeah.
Impact was taped months ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would have been before that.
My
okay, so not before they taped that, but before it aired.
Yeah, gotcha.
So anyway, so they talked to Jeff Hardy, and obviously he's not crazy. He said that he finished the match, and he wanted to do a frustrated breakdown. That's going to be his new character, and he's trying to work it out for TV, like break tables after matches and break ladders and
oh boy, it sounds like Sabu.
So he's like many people hadn't seen that, so naturally they're wondering what the hell was going on with Jeff Hardy. So that's his thing. So then they ask him about the cardboard cutout of Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is fucking hilarious.
Is this who he wants to challenge?
So apparently it was a cardboard cutout of Mexican wrestler El Dandy. And Jeff Hardy thought it was Eddie Guerrero, so now he just feels stupid. Hardy says, just knowing Guerrero back in the day, real tight, real good friends, plus my eyesight's going. Somebody said something about it being Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I thought, if that was Arnold, I need to go to the hospital right now. Holy shit. So people thought it was Arnold Schwarzenegger cutout. He thought it was Eddie Guerrero cutout. And it was actually Mexican wrestler El Dandy.
And is that who he's challenging for a match? That's all I want to know.
I think he was trying to challenge Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie originally.
And, yeah, so.
I can see TNA going that way. With the final deletion, they can bury up a dig up a body and, fuck, they might even go to a fucking hologram.
Delete.
Yes, please, Pop TV.
Yeah, you want Pop TV to cancel him. If you didn't hear the hashtag last week, final deletion Pop TV, cancel TNA Impact, final delete, right? Is what you said?
Yeah.
See, I don't think they need to be canceled. That's jobs you're talking about, Derek. I said this to you last week.
They can still do their little...
Delete. Anyway. All right, so... WWE had their quarterly conference call where they talked to the shareholders, and they basically they do this every four months or whatever, so every quarter, where they say how they did the last quarter. So for quarter two, WWE is actually booming right now.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Revenue increased 32% in quarter two, so it's 13% if you exclude the bump they get from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So 32% altogether revenue increased. The WWE Network reached 1.52 million average subscribers. They had 1.8 for WrestleMania. But, all right, so the thing with the network, though, was... When it launched, they wanted million paid subscribers to break even with the network, right? And they had like 600,000 when it launched. And here we are two and a half years later, boom, 1.52 million. So they're making money off of it now.
Oh, for sure.
The network has become a successful endeavor now.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's the way to go, honestly. If you don't have the network, you're just plain dumb, especially if you're buying the pay-per-views individually. Like, how much are those pay-per-views? $50?
$60, yeah, something like that, which most of them aren't even on pay-per-view anymore.
But this way, if we paid $60 for a few of those pay-per-views, I would have punched you in the throat at least three or four times to get my $60 worth.
That used to be their only money making, you know, venture is that pay per view.
Yeah.
Now they're finally recouping that. They took a big loss 2 years ago to recoup
just,
it now.
They're just a little behind on the streaming thing. If they stream everything like they're doing, dude, they will profit a hell of a lot more. Well, that's why the NFL is doing it and everything else is doing
Raw,
the streaming.
But Monday Night Raw keeps them afloat, though. The TV contracts. Same with the NFL. Like,
oh, for sure. You need the TV contracts.
Like Monday Night Football, Sunday
that
Football.
That pays wrestlers.
You know, so that's... Dude, that's their big thing.
You really think Pop TV is paying those wrestlers? That's what I'm saying. It won't hurt them if they get canceled from their network.
Pop TV and Impact.
Like, those guys are working at Walmart greeting you as you come in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Bobby Lashley is repairing your fucking car. You know what I'm saying? Like, legit.
Speaking of Bobby Lashley, a little sidebar. Apparently, TNA has been pulling him from upcoming independent shows he's had booked because they've raised his fee to $6,000 to book Bobby Lashley on a show. Because TNA probably takes four of it. You know, that's how they like make money, is by booking their talents for independent promoters.
And now they're trying to...
Bobby Lashley's up to like $6,000. He was probably asking like... It was probably like $1,500 to book Bobby Lashley before. Now it's $6,000.
That takes me straight to an Office episode. Michael Scott and them leave the paper company. They're struggling and shit like that when Pam and Ryan all go out and make Michael Scott paper company, and they give their paper discount at a decent price, and then they're calling motherfuckers on the phone like, we gotta cancel that.
Yeah.
You give us more fucking money. Like that, once you said that, dude, I instantly thought of the fucking Office moment. Like,
so back to this conference call. this is interesting. Through the first 6 months of 2016, digital engagement, Facebook, YouTube, all those things, up 100%. They've doubled their digital interactions, nearly 8 billion social media engagements this first 6 months of this year.
I wouldn't doubt it, dude. I mean, they do have some sick-ass matches.
But to double their YouTube, Facebook, everything this year is pretty heavy.
Have you been watching the same wrestling I have recently? I wouldn't doubt it, especially with the wrestling.
You think that they're having good wrestling?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You got people like me who are starting to watch it again because wrestling is actually getting good and not boring and shit. I mean, of course, you're going to pretty much know what certain shit's going to happen because they do use shit from the past. But still, like, there are certain matches, like, you don't expect the outcome of what's going to happen. Like, for Raw instance, you know, they gave the fucking Finn Balor a huge push. I didn't expect a motherfucker like that coming straight to Raw and getting that huge push right away for a title, you know? Like, you don't see other wrestlers getting that. So that's like...
It's a new era, Derek.
So, you know...
It's a new era.
You get what I'm saying? Like, they're giving, like...
It's a new era.
Matches, I mean, you're not expecting certain things.
The last thing from the conference call, WrestleMania, record-breaking attendance, ticket sales, viewership, social media activity.
Kayfabe?
What? Kayfabe?
Yeah.
What about it?
Is this
attendance?
Yeah, is this all there?
No, 101,763.
Legit?
That's their number, and they're sticking to it. They say...
I'd say about 97,000.
From what I hear, that number is real because it includes all the people outside watching on... They had the giant video screen outside, so it counts that area. From what I hear, they had like 97 in the building.
Yeah, that's what I was more thinking.
And like, then the other four outside.
Because it was at Texas
into
Stadium,
the vicinity.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so...
Jerry least, World.
Yeah, at least 97 inside.
So WWE the network 1.82 million subscribers, like I said earlier, for WrestleMania. And that whole week was their biggest subscriber count. People viewed nearly 22 million hours of content.
And only a 300,000 drop afterwards?
Averaging 12 hours per subscriber.
Is what you said, right?
They averaged 1.52.
So pretty much like
WrestleMania was 1.8.
So pretty much a 300,000
drop in paid subscribers.
Oh,
is expected. They're expecting to average 1.4 for the next quarter.
Oh, they'll probably.
So they're averaging to go down. They're expecting.
Dude, they might hit 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
What, paid subscribers?
Yes.
I think within this year, WrestleMania, maybe?
By next WrestleMania, I guarantee you they'll be closer to 3 million subscribers.
Dude, this is the last.
We can keep that as a prediction. I'm honest.
3 million by next WrestleMania? Oh, for sure. No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't see it. I see fucking 1.5 by next WrestleMania.
You don't think it's going to change?
I
think it will.
We'll see how this brand split works for them.
That's what I'm saying. Now, if it fails, I can see subscribers dropping quickly of over ignorance. Like,
all right, last story I got for you. I don't know if you've heard this, but this is, I really don't even know how I feel about this story, to be honest with you. So Paul Heyman is on tour in London right now, doing like a evening with Paul Heyman type things where.
Probably like an expose all.
Well, kind of like
Q&A type deal.
Yeah, like the you remember my evening with Kevin Smith DVD I had back in the day.
Like a sit down.
And Jim Cornette's done the UK tours. Jim Ross does them. Paul Heyman's been he hasn't been under contract with WWE since May.
Yeah,
that's why he hasn't been part of the draft, and he still hasn't signed a new deal. So anyway, he's over in England doing a tour, and he brought up the streak ending in Brock Lesnar. And I think I'm just going to kind of play it for you and let you hear, you know, what he's got to say. He sets it up in the first little clip. I'm going to kind of just fucking go past that. But then he really starts to dig into.
I'm the one that has everybody's attention.
I don't remember what I was saying.
As business people will exploit me to their fullest and make me a bigger star in the process. As for The Undertaker, the creative process behind it. You know, here's something funny. Even Vince McMahon was asked this question by Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince gave kind of, you know, it's time to give back to the industry, and when it's time to give back to the industry, you give back to the industry. Like Andre the Giant gave to Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. In other words, Vince didn't really answer the question. There's only a very select people that understand what happened that night. The referee's not one of them. The music guy is not one of them. Vince McMahon is one of them. The Undertaker collapsed behind the curtain, was taken to the hospital. Vince McMahon left WrestleMania before Daniel Bryan was crowned champion because The Undertaker was taken out in an ambulance and we didn't know how bad of a situation we were facing. Undertaker knows what happened that night. I know what happened that night. Brock Lesnar knows what happened that night. Now, here's the funny question. If so few people know, why would we ever open up the secret of what happened? So let me plant a little doubt in your minds where you sit there and say, is Heyman telling us something we're not supposed to know, or is he just fucking with our heads? So let me ask you this. How do you know it was a creative process? How do you know that was supposed to happen? How do you know? You may think you know, but do you know you know? What would have happened at WrestleMania 30 if Brock Lesnar said, fuck it, I'm taking it on him. I'm going to dump him on his head. I'm going to knock him out. Then I'm going to F5 him. I'm going to hook his leg. And I'm going to pin him for real. And nobody's going to be able to fire me. Because once I beat that streak, how could they fire me? So let's say that was Brock Lesnar's mindset that night. Let's say Brock Lesnar said, I don't want to lose. I'm going to win. And they can't do anything about it because they can't fire me if I just beat the streak because I'm the guy everybody's going to talk about. Do you think he can't do it? Do you think The Undertaker would be able to stop Brock Lesnar from taking that victory? Could anybody in WWE stop Brock? Brock Lesnar from taking that victory? And what if that's what happened? What would the reaction be? Wouldn't the reaction be exactly what it was? That The Undertaker needed a year just to get his head back into the game? Because he wasn't that badly injured. He went home the next day. He was hurt. He was hospitalized. But he went home the next day. He didn't need a year off. But he took it. Why? Yeah. This is like the Kennedy assassination. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. But the one that I'm offering has never been offered in public before. So I'll say it for the fourth time of the evening. Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And what if on that night, in front of the whole world, live on the first WrestleMania offered on the network, what if Brock Lesnar decided, I'm going to do what I want to do? What if he really did conquer the streak?
So, Paul Heyman's trying to tell people wrestling's real. Is what he's doing right now. Is that if I you look speechless. You look confused almost.
You'd point at me and go, bullshit. But the fact that I presented to you about Brock Lesnar, I guarantee you at least half of you will go home tonight saying, did he just fucking tell us something that we're not supposed to know? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but it's certainly worthy of a conspiracy theory, isn't it?
So he's trying to say that...
It's like a lollipop, you'll never know.
You'll never know how many licks it takes?
Obviously.
To beat the streak?
To beat the streak.
How many licks does it take to beat the streak, Derek?
Obviously, Brock Lesnar figured that shit out.
Brock Lesnar knew the lick amount. But, so, he's basically trying to say that...
This is what I'm getting out of it, Sean.
Okay, go for it.
For the next 2 years, you're going to try to convince me that he told us something fucking real. Is what is my take on
it. Well, yeah, that wrestling is real.
You're going to try to convince me. Well, I just take it as he's doing a little work shoot there, trying to pair back up with Brock Lesnar coming back.
That's what I'm saying. If he's not even under contract at WWE, what's he gaining out of doing this promo?
He has nothing to gain.
So, Paul Heyman. So is he telling the truth then?
He could be, he could not be. But
Paul Heyman's never telling the truth.
You know what I'm saying?
He's like, notoriously known for being the lionest liar. That's what I'm saying. Like, liars.
You will never know with him.
Mm.
Like,
did Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker for real?
Definitely not. I don't think so.
Or did Vince McMahon make the call that Undertaker was going to lose?
He probably made the call.
I wish I had my soundboard down here so I could play The Undertaker theme song. I have it on my soundboard, but I didn't bring my soundboard down because I didn't think I'd need it.
Oh, poor Undertaker. He should just retire now anyways.
Who, The Undertaker?
Oh, for sure. If he has another WrestleMania match, oh my God, no.
You're not ready for that?
I'll be sad for the guy. He's going to be like fucking what, 50?
Undertaker? He's 52 or 53 right now?
You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy needs to retire. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, he almost killed himself for Shawn Michaels. I mean...
That was in 2009, Derek. That was seven years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he took
He's
that
had
risk
a lot of good year- matches since then.
No.
He had the CM Punk match. He had two Triple H matches. He had another Shawn Michaels match after that. Oh my
God. They all sucked.
Hell in a Cell with Brock. SummerSlam with Brock. WrestleMania with Brock.
I missed all that.
WrestleMania with Brock was awful. We'll take a fucking break here. Then we'll come back and we will review some wrestling for the week.
Sounds good. That's Don't break your vape.
I just broke the vape, dude.
Sucks to be you. Doom.
Hello and welcome to this week's commercial for I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
And I'm Tony.
Join us every week as we kick off the show with entertainment news, then we dive into Genre 5, which is a list of five of our most loved or hated genres, actors, things in movies, television, comics, or video games. I get it, not all of that is considered a genre, but get off my ass. It's hard to think of different subgenres every week, so yes, we take liberties with the name. Then fall down the rabbit hole that is Test of Tony, in which Tony, and sometimes me if I have the gumption to partake, gets to relive a movie from his past, and with his old sage-like eyes tells me if it stands the test of time and passes the test of Tony. And to cap off this wild ride of two dickheads giving their opinions on movies, we head into Movie of the Week, where our heroes both watch the same movie and discuss it. Honestly, it's more like a book club. Either way, check us out at lousyweathermedia.com, and now enjoy the show, and as always, go burn books.
Undertaker theme song is still that one that'll give you chills, right?
Yeah. When I hear it, I'm like, motherfucker, here comes a 5-minute fucking entrance, unless I'm at WrestleMania and it becomes 9 minutes and I might be sleeping before he gets to the fucking ring.
For Undertaker?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm scared. I'm shaking in my boots the whole time. He's taking my soul to hell. Dude, I watched him die in 1994 in a casket match, man, and float up to heaven.
And
he's
then you
crazy.
Watch him float with the lightning hit. Doom.
He's crazy, dude.
Did you just watch that recently?
No, it's just vividly in my mind.
Oh.
That was like when wrestling got killed for me almost, because that happened, right?
And then he was like, no fucking way, Mom.
Well, no, like a week.
Mom, that's fucking fake. Don't even lie.
No, it was not too long after I was in Canada, and then their newspaper, the Toronto Sun or whatever, they would kind of cover wrestling almost legitimately, and they had put the article in there that whole angle was done because his wife was pregnant, and he was taking time off.
That's probably a logistic real story.
So, yeah, that's why he died, and my dad told me that, and I was like, so he's not really dead? Like, I thought I saw him die. He was in the casket on the video screen.
He's having a baby.
Yeah, so that was when kayfabe got killed for me.
That's when you knew Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik could be best friends.
Mm-hmm. The Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik friends?
Yep, they can do lines and be best friends.
The super friends of the universe, Jim Duggan.
Wonder Twins, sync up.
So let's get into our wrestling reviews. I'm trying to, like, play music, hell yeah. Our dubstep song. This is our lousy wrestling song here.
I don't want to get sued by Rammstein.
It's not Rammstein. I made it. I made this. I made it on GarageBand.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
Du. Du hast. Du hast mich.
Actually, it reminds me more of a death clock. Like,
death, part of,
yeah, death clock?
Yeah, like when they're part, like at one of their shows on the TV show.
Mm.
And this reminds me of something they'd be playing with their music. Maybe chopping off heads, eating dead babies.
All right, so Raw was a good show. Let's start with Raw this week. Raw was not a bad show. It was a good show. But, like, this is, okay, so I'll set it up. This is my first time, like, sitting down and watching a Raw that's not the Raw after Mania. Raw after Mania I usually always watch, but this is my first time, like, sitting down, watching Monday Night Raw, all the way through in years.
Oh my god.
Years. Probably since like 2010 or 11. I'd swear. It's been a long time since like 2010 or 11. And I remember back then, like when they would do the 3-hour Raw. It was like a special, it was like a big deal. I was like excited, like in 2008 or so, they'd be like 3-hour Raw draft night or 3-hour Raw roulette night or whatever,
or
and shit.
The tribute to the troops nights, I remember, were 3 hours here and there.
They would do cool things that were 3 hours, but doing this every week, 3 hours, holy shit. And Raw was a good show. The wrestling on it was phenomenal.
What, this week?
But yes.
Oh, yeah, the matches were.
But god, it was almost taxing for me to make it through the 3 hours.
It pretty much has
I estimated at probably an hour, 15 minutes of wrestling, and the rest is bullshit.
They did. The fantastic opening match. So Raw was set up.
How it was set up was cool.
My prediction from last week came true.
You got your new title, bud.
I said they were going to do like a Raw title, but they called it the WWE Universal title.
And I'm waiting for them to get sued.
For what?
Universal.
Universal Studio Orlando.
Trademark. Boom.
Well, there's other promotions that have a Universal Champion. There's a Universal Champion in Puerto Rico. California.
It's Universal, dude. Now it's just horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't like the name of it.
So they... Universal Champion, they announced that, so they set it up that it was going to be two four-way matches. The winners of those would have to face each other
that night,
and the winner of that would face Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how Mick Foley set it up at the beginning of the night.
Fantastic opening match. I didn't write down who was in it, but it was Finn Balor, Cesaro, Rusev, and Jericho, maybe, or... somebody like that. Jericho was in the other show.
Hold on. I'm trying to think here.
Who was in it?
Because I didn't get that far because I didn't...
It was the opening match.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the very couple matches because my shit wasn't recording.
Mm. So then the second four-way match had Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. Jericho's in every match.
Jericho was in that match because I watched that match.
Okay.
So and because Sammy, he does the fuck, he get does a botched Superman punch.
Kevin Owens is in the first one.
Kevin Owens, Cesaro.
Now I remember why I remember Kevin Owens being in it, because when the first guy was coming out, they cut to this guy in the crowd that looked exactly like Kevin Owens. And I was like, is Kevin Owens in the crowd? and then he came out to the ring, and I was like, oh no, he's wrestling right now.
Yeah, the first match was
Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor and Rusev. Yeah. Phenomenal match.
Oh, it was really good for a Fatal 4-Way. Good way to start the night off, I thought.
The second Fatal 4-Way with Roman. Roman does a razor edge to a powerbomb maneuver on Sami Zayn. And then this is my gripe on this match. The first match was a good wrestling match. The second match relied on false finishes to get the crowd hype because they were dead from just watching a Fatal 4-Way, if that makes sense. They just watched a really good Fatal 4-Way, then the second match, instead of being a really good match, relied on false finishes and kicking out rather than breaking up and shit.
The first match was more of like your aerial guys and high flyers that had more natural ability, and then the second match was more of your kind of toned down wrestlers, which shocked me because Chris Jericho should have been in the first match and Kevin Owens should have been in the second match.
So, they're trying to keep Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn apart. So
they're trying to keep them relevant too.
But anyway, Roman Reigns does this, where I had to gripe. Roman Reigns does this. He fucking picks him up, Sami Zayn up like a razor's edge, and then fucking drops him into a tiger bomb, sit down, power bomb, and, Sami Zayn kicks out on two and a half with no interference. I will give Mauro Ranallo the call of the night for saying that kick out was as close as conjoined twins to being a pinfall. And that was like right up there with Scalding Dog and Government Mule. Conjoined twins call from Mauro Ranallo.
That's awesome.
But I just couldn't believe that. You have two other guys in the match. Why can't somebody get in the ring and break that up? Common sense would be break up the pinfall if you're hearing a pinfall. And because Sami Zayn shouldn't have been kicking out of that move. And then they get out of it. He hits the Blue Thunder Bomb. He kicks out of that. They traded kickouts instead of stuff being broken up until kind of towards the very end of the match, which Roman Reigns won.
Yeah, because he beat Chris Jericho, and they had their
the botchamania for them. Jericho fucking bumped early, and so Roman Reigns misses him with the punch. But then Jericho stands right back up and takes the punch. They do it again. Yeah. Instead of, he bumped early, so he should have just bumped out of the ring, been like he was dodging it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to hit.
Yeah.
They're trying to hit time cues, obviously, and
oh, for sure.
That was the finish and whatever. So because he hit that, and then I think he hit the spear maybe a minute or two later, yeah, or if, and then got 30 seconds or so later. But so he hits Jericho with the missing punch, and then Jericho should have just dumped out of the ring he was avoiding it. But anyway, he stood up and took the punch. Yeah. So it was very obvious their punch.
I was surprised you didn't fuck up. Started
so
throwing out there.
Roman, it started in my living room when I was Shannon.
Yeah, mine too. I instantly was like, you fucked up.
The job matches.
The 1993
this is what
job.
They brought back this week. They also brought back or added a couple different camera angles.
Yeah.
To go with the new logo and new set.
Yeah, you said you didn't like the new announced table setup.
It's all right. It allows people around the ring to get closer to the ring because there's not an announced table in the way.
That's the only reason why I personally like the old WCW, because the fans could be closer to the ring.
So you got this three-hour show, and they did the bit where New Day comes out. They're now the longest reigning tag team champions
and
since 2002.
They were
so
not that funny.
They showed, that's what I'm getting to. So they showed a video package, which is all fine. This is all fine. They did all this. And then they brought a guy into the ring and said, "What's your name, Sonny Boy?" His name is Sonny Boy. And then, "No, what's your name? My name's Sonny Boy. What's it on your driver's license? My name's Sonny Boy." And they did this 11 fucking times.
This is when I thought about turning my television, going, fuck.
Exactly. So
not
they have again. 3 hours to fill, so they just have people taking up time. You know what I mean?
They should throw
they
in
could
some
have a,
backroom interferences
so
or something.
They
could have
came out and did the Celebrate Us thing, cut out the Sonny Boy thing. They could have been showing the video package when the club comes down and runs in. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It completely cut out the Sonny Boy thing. It wasn't funny. It was garbage television. The crowd didn't buy onto it. They
not
did it 11
all.
Times without the crowd ever getting into it.
That's what shocked me. Like, the crowd eats them up, and the Raw, they were just like, fuck you guys.
But
you
then,
suck.
So they did another job match. What was the other one there? Braun Strowman with the guy with no chin. Did you see this guy with no chin?
Yeah, that was the first match I told you about that I actually started watching. And then I actually watched the Nia Jax.
So the guy had no chin. Like, yeah. He literally had just had no chin.
I kind of feel there was like three squash matches, because wasn't the Curtis Axel match kind of like a squash match too? I would kind of
Curtis Axel.
I think that was kind of like a squash match I would feel.
That was Neville returning. Yeah.
Yeah. So
exactly.
I feel like,
so those the three squash matches.
So it took me back to 92.
Neville returned, which was I think that was the. You know, all of that is managed. You probably could have cut out one of them instead of debuting Neville tonight, because nobody knew he was coming back until in the first hour. They're like, "Hey, Neville's wrestling tonight."
Yeah,
so
they could have waited till this week coming.
They could have aired a promo this week, had him wrestle next week. But I mean, just
probably
cut
a better match.
This,
even
cut this show down to 2 hours. It just doesn't need to be 3 hours.
You don't like the 3 hours. You want to be in bed by 11.
It was daunting. It was hard to get through. It really was. It was tough to get through.
Some Raws.
I wasn't
are.
Even tired, and I fell asleep.
Some Raws just is waking me up, going, "I'm turning this shit."
Like SmackDown was a lot more manageable. To just be like, okay, I'm in the last 45 minutes. I'm in the last stretch. With Raw, I was like, man, I got this. And I got a whole nother thing.
Only fucking 10 minutes went by? God damn.
The Pokemon Go segment where it was throughout the night.
Yeah.
Or R-Truth. Like, you can still leave all that stuff in. Like, all this stuff can still be there. We can still be all of that shit.
Yeah, you can crunch it in there.
And not be pressed for time. Oh, you really couldn't.
They got a whole extra fucking hour. Now they're just
you could have cut out
shit together.
Cut out 10 minutes with fucking Sonny Boy and cut out a fucking match.
You just want to be in bed by 11. That's your whole deal.
Well, fuck, they could put it on from 8 to 10. And I could be done by 10.
You're like, just cut it down.
Because they do the overrun, too. So they already do 3 hours and 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, Finn Balor ended up winning the match with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Was it a good match? I fell asleep during it.
That was probably...
Wasn't even tired.
That was probably the second best match of the entire night. Like, I was very pleased with those guys working together.
You told me you didn't think Finn Balor got the reaction with the crowd. I thought he did. I thought he sounded over.
I didn't think... Compared to his takeovers and shit like that and NXT, not the slightest, dude.
The other big thing of the night was Sasha Banks winning the women's title, which we talked about was going to be the match for SummerSlam, and they just hot-shotted that shit.
They were like, right now, you guys are doing it.
They said, you're winning the title, then we're going into a title match.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're like, still doing the title match for SummerSlam. They announced this. They're doing a title match for SummerSlam, but Sasha's the champ.
They're doing those, you don't know what you're going
to
expect.
Great match between the two of them. Sasha had to have her botch where she looks like she's going to die. Or she went flying out of the ring on a suicide dive.
That's what she was doing. She was doing a little suicide dive.
She fell right on her neck. And then Charlotte hit a beautiful moonsault in the match. She did her backstabber, roll through bank statement, got Charlotte to tap out. Then they did the in-ring post-interview. This is what I thought.
Taking it back to Gene Oakland, coming on down.
Well, this is what I thought from it, was they're almost like, it was like Vince sat and watched UFC 200 that Brock was on and just took a couple ideas. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing the Joe Rogan in the ring post-match. Like, Byron was in there, like, a few times. He's in there talking to the one guy with no chin. Dude. Like, good luck, buddy. And then they were doing those sweeping crane shots, too, from the side. In the corner, this is new. They had cameras on cranes on the side of the ring, sweeping by the ring.
They showed a lot of fuck-ups with those camera angles, especially, the one... I think it might have been the second.
I felt like they were missing a lot of stuff, too, trying to throw them in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They definitely missed
especially on SmackDown, they were missing stuff with Kalisto. Went for that one dive. So, anyway, anything else you want to say about Raw before we move on?
Raw?
First Raw of the new era. I mean, it was a good show, but long, dude.
I give it a B.
3 hours is hard. It's going to be hard for me to make it through Raw every week. I will say this. We're taking on Raw, and I like wrestling.
But you don't like it that fucking much.
But it's hard to get... I'm even watching it nefariously. So no fucking commercials. And it's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And that's too fucking long.
I get it. That's why we're voted the number one shittiest fucking wrestling.
Number one shittiest lousy wrestling podcast.
Yeah, you know, so I understand you don't want to do your job well. And, you know, you want to take an extra break. I get it.
So SmackDown the next night.
SmackDown, much better.
I see. This is you thought you liked SmackDown better than Raw. I liked SmackDown better than Raw. The consensus amongst the wrestling, the IWC, the internet wrestling community, and the podcast world is that Raw was the way better show than SmackDown, and I disagree.
The only thing I didn't like was the little gay ass battle royal.
Yeah,
and they should have kept it a fucking. The battle royal was fine, but they could have done without the battle
royal. The battle royal was fine, but it did kind of expose that they were like, okay, so John Cena's already in the match, AJ's already in the match, so you get to the battle royal and it's like, what, Kane, the Ascension,
that's why I said it was kind of dumb. That's why I didn't like it. Like, you kind of knew it was either going to be
exposed the roster for being a bunch of upper middle card too,
and
not
tag
even
teams.
You know, they're lower middle card, however you want to call it, upper card.
They're not even part of the upper card. Fuck that. That's all of Raw
pre-show. No, the Raw's got your stars on it right now.
Yeah, SmackDown's got
all the lower card, mid card, whatever you want to call it. Dude, I look at
SmackDown as the has-beens of the 2000s.
All they announced they're bringing back Shelton and everything like that.
Look at it. Look at it. All those guys that
are
on
that thing, brand. The things I had most to say about it was Zack Ryder's ass bruise. In the whole Battle Royal, couldn't focus on anything other than Zack Ryder's ass bruise. His whole ass was bruised from, I imagine, from his leg slap, because he always slaps his fucking leg on all of his kicks. And I imagine he fucking slapped himself so hard his ass was bruised, but he had a fucking bruise the size of Texas coming from his right ass cheek, and it was fucking distracting as shit. But and then he fucking was.
My question is, did you watch the match or did you watch his ass?
I watched his ass for most of it. And then he was botchamania too. He fucking
Jump off the top rope botch.
But first was when he
that was my best one.
He went for so knocked Kalisto down. Kalisto sits. He's sitting on the mat, but he sits up. And then Ryder goes for a drop kick to his back, and he probably jumped about 3 feet above Kalisto's head and just drop kicked the air above his head. and then
falls down late.
And then, yeah, a couple minutes later is when he got on the top rope to do some sort of maneuver. And then he just kind of went dandy off the.
He could have broke a leg if he landed over the left side.
Yeah, he kind of did the Sid Vicious fucking Slammery 2000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Think about break maneuver. Like, I thought he seriously was going to like fuck his leg up when he did it, and then he just landed there and went all crazy and did his like, I fucked up, guys, but I don't want to let anyone know.
Whoever was in the ring with him tried to make up for it, went running over to start punching him, but. That was pretty funny. The Zack Ryder in the match, all I kept thinking the whole time I saw was like, I was like, man, he just ruined it. Like, they're trying to, like, he's done everything for himself to get himself over.
And now and he's doing everything to fire himself.
Yeah, and they buried him. Now they're actually being like, they put the belt on WrestleMania, even though he lost it the next night. But
now they're like, dude, we need you. You see this roster?
They're trying to put a little bit of fire behind him, and he's swinging and missing. You know what I mean?
That tells you right there he's not going to be your ride or die for SmackDown.
Yeah, he was going to be down to like the final three in that Battle Royal, and he was just swinging and missing.
Poor Zack Ryder. Can't get no woo-woo-woo. But he doesn't have his hype, bro. Maybe that's who was slapping his ass.
They also had that segment with the women after. Okay, so Becky and Natalya wrestle, and Natalya I almost feel bad for because she's been babyface for a few years now. They turn her heel on a dime for no real reason. Her and Becky were best friends. All of a sudden, she just attacks her. She's been babyface all this time, turns heel for no reason, and the crowd's not giving a shit. They used to cheer when she came out. Now they're not making a sound when she comes out.
Crickets.
So Natalya and Becky have an all right match, and it's almost another thing about Natalya was like, 5 years ago, she was the best worker out of all the women. Now she almost looks
like a diva,
slow diva, outdated. Her like she kind of had like
she had
weird.
To.
It was very. She was doing a lot of stuff that looked very like synchronized, slow.
Dude, she had to work with fucking Bellas. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, she had to work with she was people almost, who couldn't wrestle.
And she was kind of working that style.
She stuck into the divas
she
mode.
She was kind of
fired.
I think we just haven't. She's almost getting exposed now that she's working. But she's had amazing matches with Charlotte and stuff, too. I don't know. Maybe it's. I don't know what it was, but
maybe
Natalya.
You just don't like her anymore.
Natalya just. She looked kind of slow. She kind of looked very synchronized and. Everything was kind of like weird and kind of like little move fish. People can't see me at home right now when they're listening.
You look like Frankenstein.
So anyway, the segment I was talking about, though, they interview Becky after the thing in ring. like the Joe Rogan thing.
You're all about that sin ring.
And they did this whole thing where everybody started interrupting each other. Alexa Bliss came out. Hi.
And all the women started
I'm Alexa.
Out.
Then Naomi came out. What are you thinking, Alexa? Like, you're some badass shit. Then my girl Carmella came out. F-A-B-L-O-U-S. Fabulous.
And I'm going to smack you.
She did the whole thing, too. Like, my name is Carmella. And I am the princess of Staten Island. She just didn't get to the bada bing, hottest chick in the ring, how you doing part yet.
Yeah, because another bitch came out and like
another bitch came out.
They pretty much just showed all your women wrestlers.
Who was the last one that came? Eva Marie. This was my favorite. Eva Marie's new.
She's all in red.
Her new entrance music. She's been all red everything since she kind of started, but her new entrance theme was fucking awesome, where it was just it sounded like E fucking voiceover for fashion red carpet, like behold Eva Marie. It was kind of like the feast your eyes and fantasize. Yeah, I can't remember what the hell he said, but it was awesome. I hope that is her entrance music, that it's just the guy
every time
introducing her like that. Like, that behold one. Your eyes on awesome. All red everything, Eva Marie. Like, I was like, that's awesome.
That's my new favorite wrestler.
Heat Getter. She's an awful wrestler, but she's learning.
But
she's trying. If I'm going to give her any fucking credit, she's trying. And everybody says that she's not. And she's been given everything to her since she got hired because of the way she looks. And that's why she's a heat getting son of a bitch now. And everybody boos her because they hate her. But she's trying. She was doing all those little fucking private sessions with Brian Kendrick to learn, and she even does Brian Kendrick's finish. Like, that's her move. He gave it to her, the whatever the fuck it's called, toilet plunger or something like that.
The toilet plunger, huh?
Something like that. I wish Josie was here to Google it. It's called something like that. Brian, I'll get back to you. Brian Kendrick's finishing move, the toilet plunger. But yeah, the
poop scoop.
The only shining point of that segment was that part. But it really kind of exposed the women's division on SmackDown is definitely kind of going to be your diva, run-of-the-mill type girls.
SmackDown got the fucking divas, and Raw got the wrestlers.
They should. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they should bring back the divas title, but they gotta They gotta give the women on SmackDown something. You know what I mean?
There's how many other wrestlers?
Because right
put
now,
put a bitch on each arm.
If you really think about it,
manager.
Right now, SmackDown has
manager.
SmackDown only has WWE title and the Intercontinental title.
And they can have all women managers.
And whether you just, they're done wrestling? All of them that are on SmackDown? But
that's how I looked at it pretty much.
So Raw though has the Universal title coming, the Cruiserweight title coming. They have the tag titles, they have the US title, and they have the women's title. So Raw's got 5 titles and SmackDown's got 2. They're gonna even this out somehow. They gotta get a tag team title and a women title on fucking SmackDown.
Too complicated. I'll hate my life.
If they're gonna do 2 separate brands, separate pay per views, Backlash coming.
They're gonna have to.
The women gotta have something to fight for.
They're gonna have to. It's just gonna be like, fuck my life, really.
So then SmackDown ended with the 6-pack challenge match that Apollo Crews won the Battle Royal to get into.
I was very disappointed they didn't make it a 6-pack match.
What, 6-pack match? So are they just chuck 6-packs?
No, because poor Heath Slater just can't get a gig.
And another, let's talk about that. I forgot about this. Heath Slater, I think, got himself over more in that promo than fucking for years.
Exactly.
Years of work before that. He came out, just dropped homeboy, grabbed the microphone, and just started yelling. And then my favorite part of it was Shane McMahon's like, you can send in your resume. And then Heath Slater just says, sign a resume! Sign a resume! Like, he didn't even know what resume meant. Like, he thought resume was like a contract or something. He's like, I'm going to sign a resume! I'm going to sign a resume! And fucking then
And he's then, Googling it on his phone as he's leaving the event.
Yeah, that Rhino showed up.
Out of the ring, yeah, that was cool.
So I thought that was a great deal for Heath Slater. I thought it got himself over. He's the undrafted free agent.
He's the pick of the litter, I guess. Is what they're saying.
He's trying to get himself over. Yeah, nobody wants him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to be the pick of the litter pretty soon. Like, he's going to get over. So
the hottest free agent is cliche as shit now, too. If I might add, while we're talking about that, they say that term for everyone.
Yep,
I heard it on NXT. Before we started doing this, the hottest free agents, the TM61 or some shit. And then the hottest free agents, Heath Slater, the hottest free agent, Rhino, hottest free agent, Shelton Benjamin, hottest free agent,
MVP.
Hottest free agent, I don't know, Ric Flair.
Kurt Angle, please come back.
So the big thing in the six-pack challenge match that I wrote down was Mauro Ranallo, his beautiful call. There was the dueling Tower of Dooms, the stereo Tower of Doom spot where, you know, Bray Wyatt, AJ, Dolph Ziggler, Apollo Crews,
Cena,
John Cena, and somebody else.
And who was it?
We should write these things down next time. Anyway, so
my brain's supposed to write it down, but I guess
they go for the dueling Towers of Doom and stereo, and when they all crash to the mat, Mauro Ranallo goes, "Mamma mia!" And it just started cracking me up because I was like, you know, that was Vince McMahon like in his headset going, "Well, God damn it, you're Italian, God damn it. Say something more Italian, God damn it, Mauro. With a name like Mauro Ranallo."
Getting dogged his entire time.
"You should say things more Italian, God damn it."
Italian.
And then Mauro was just like, "Mamma mia." You know what I mean? He's like, been working on that for a week. Like, I need something. He's like, God, he's like sitting at home with his wife. Like, I don't know. He just keeps yelling in a headset that I need to speak more Italian. I don't fucking know.
This bastard won't leave me alone.
God damn it.
Vince McMahon.
I was like, "Wait, where does Mamma Mia come? Mamma Mia!" I was like, "Oh, come on!"
He wants motherfuckers to make pizzas.
God damn it! Speak more Italian, damn it! Like, I don't know.
I could see that happening too. Fucking Vince McMahon's a dick.
So, and then, did you watch NXT too?
Yeah, I watched NXT.
NXT. I think the new era has definitely dawned for NXT too, because
a lot of nobodies.
It looked like it's back to looking like a developmental show.
Oh, for sure.
For like it did 2 years. 2 years ago, I would say the same thing. They had like, Neville and Sami Zayn and a few other people that had been working a long time. But for the most part, the big guys on the show were like, were the Leo Kruger and the, Adam Rose or whatever he came into, Tyler Breeze and all those guys that, and Big E, you know, those people that aren't the indie darlings. Now all the indie darlings that have been in NXT are moved up. Basically, you just got Joe Nakamura and Austin Aries left. Yeah. And then Asuka and Bayley.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much the talent is...
are the only veterans, so...
depleted.
Yeah, so it definitely went back to looking like a developmental show, but it's still great wrestling program.
Oh, it's definitely... I think it has better wrestling at times, it has some shitty ass wrestling.
I thought SmackDown did a good job with their promos. Promos like they were just showing the guys standing alone in front of a screen talking. I thought Dolph Ziggler's did really well, where he was just in front of a black screen, like, "I'm just a kid from Cleveland, and I failed, and now I need to come back."
He's doing the LeBron James.
So he's
coming home.
He won the match, and now he's set up for the title match with Dean Ambrose.
I think that's going to be a really good match. And Dolph Ziggler's a good worker.
But Dolph Ziggler's been losing. All of a sudden, he wins. He's going to a title match. So the two mid-card guys can wrestle for the mid-card title in the mid card of SummerSlam, basically. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is. I will give
the battle of the mid card.
I will say that Dolph Ziggler hit a beautiful super kick to AJ Styles, and AJ Styles sold it like he had got shot in the jaw.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I'm saying. Like, he's AJ, a good worker.
AJ did a legit backflip, fell on his neck, and then took the pin. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that's...
I even rewound it and watched it like twice. Yeah, me too. See that super kick. Yeah. Somebody beat somebody with a super kick.
That's a moment right there where I'm thinking, damn, is wrestling real? Mm-hmm.
What, when that kick happens?
Yeah, because it looked really good, like how he sold it and everything. It was really good.
All of wrestling's real?
Oh, fuck no.
I mean, I can hook you up and get moves, you in a ring training, dude.
Dude, there's some moves motherfuckers hit that are not going to feel too good.
Nah.
I know that much.
So
it's not fake, 100%, Sean.
Yeah, and then NXT, they set up for Joe versus Nakamura at TakeOver Brooklyn.
And you got a hard on, and I was like, great, so, well, another Samoa Joe victory. Can we finally get up Austin Aries the fucking belt?
I think this will be, so I think this might be Joe losing it so Joe can go to the main card.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So,
because they're just bypassing him.
Nakamura's on Talk is Jericho this week.
I might check that out.
His English is surprisingly not too bad. It was very listenable. The funny part was Jericho, the whole interview, talking like Nakamura. Chinese. Not Chinese. They're Japanese. But he's not speaking Japanese, but he's talking like Japanese-American. Does that make sense? He'll be like...
Hi, Sean.
No, that's none awesome. Of that stuff. Just kind of stuff like... He'll be like... You know, America, big crowd, loud, right?
Yeah.
He's like talking like that to him, like cutting out sentences, like almost like Kevin on The Office from that time when he's like, he's like Sea World or whatever. That's kind of how
Sea World.
That's kind of how Jericho.
Instead of using the full sentence.
It's kind of how Jericho was talking. He was, you know, he'd be like, so come to America. You have fun in Orlando. And he's like, you have things to eat, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way he was talking to him. I was like, it's almost funny hearing Jericho try to speak. He's speaking Japanese English, if that makes any sense.
Because I've never heard a dude talk, but I can imagine, like...
Who, Nakamura?
Yeah, but I can imagine...
He still has very broken English, but you can understand everything he's saying.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because he's been over here, what, a couple years?
No, he's only been over here for 3 months or 2 months. So whenever he saw...
Broken English.
Whenever they did the NXT takeover that he debuted at is when he moved to Orlando right before that.
Vince McMahon is probably upset he cannot have the broken Nakamura.
The broken Nakamura? Nakamura doesn't even need English, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like... He can speak it kind of well, so he's got enough of a grasp.
You know, I was trying
to
take a shot right there at Matt Hardy, you know.
Well, the broken Nakamura? It just went right over my head. But so, Nakamura, though, his maneuvers in the ring, when you come down to his, like, joking things and stuff like that, like he even did with Wesley Blake in the NXT match. That type of stuff is just going to get you over no matter who you are or where you're at.
He is a good wrestler, just not my favorite at the moment in NXT.
I think you need to go back through and see some of his Japanese stuff.
I watched the Finn Balor match.
The only match, and that was good. Things you've ever seen of him now have been what? The two NXT matches he's done?
I've watched the last...
Or three NXT matches, four NXT matches.
Yeah, I watched the last month of NXT matches, plus his TakeOver match and shit like that.
Sami Zayn, did you watch that one?
Yeah.
His match against Sami Zayn?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a good worker. He's just not my favorite. Like, he hasn't got to that plateau for me yet to be this is my...
He's the best in the business right now.
As far as wrestling goes, maybe, but I like the guys who have the mic skills too, you know, like Enzo and Cass. Like like we were saying last week, like Cass is getting better talker and shit like
Nakamura's got the mic skills, man.
Let's see what he does when he gets on the mic and see how he does, you know.
So we're going to catch Jigglypuff on Bob Backlund's tie?
You want to, not me.
You want to take one last break, and then we'll come back and wrap everything up the Lousy Wrestling Podcast Episode 2. Great again! Welcome to this week's commercial for the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. I'm Sean.
I'm Derek.
And we have been voted the number one shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Listen to us talk about wrestling.
Poor wrestling.
Okay, don't move. Stay right there, right there.
Are you guys taking a picture of me?
Oh, God. No, we would never do that. We're playing Pokemon Go, Sasha.
Looks like a rip.
Look, a Pikachu.
Pika what?
A Pikachu, man.
You pick at me, I pick at you back.
Let's go get him. Come on.
We're going to learn from that match. We're going to learn from that match, and you're going to win. You're going to get that.
Coach. No. Don't move, Bob. Don't move.
Please be still. There's a Pokemon
right up under your bow tie. It's a Jigglypuff. Hold on. Let me try
it's
to get it.
It's a Jigglypuff tool.
I got it.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know you're having a deleterious effect on
Today I watched, here's him in the ring, literally walking through the ring playing Pokemon. Pokemon Go may have officially run its course. I posted this on the Lousy Weather Media Facebook. I think it may have officially run its course now that it has taken place on Monday Night Raw.
It's just like, starting, dude.
I mean, come on. I was watching Up, Up, Down, Down. I was talking about earlier.
It's, yeah.
Xavier Woods' video game show, and he was playing Pokemon Go with Goldust. Apparently, Goldust plays Pokemon Go. He's a big fan of it. He's been doing the Pokemon for years because of his daughter. He'd playing Pokemon card games and Game Boy games and stuff with her. So
yeah.
He got himself the Pokemon Go, and he plays it backstage. You just see this like old man running around. Well, I mean, not old man, not the Barry Goldust, but he is pretty up there. Running around playing
He's
Pokemon
in his 50s
Go.
50s at least.
Yeah, maybe late 40s. How old would Dustin? Google that, Derek.
He's at least. At least 49.
So Pokemon Go is on Monday Night Raw.
Is on your mind.
Mm-hmm. Did I catch a Jigglypuff on Bob Backlund?
You probably would have. And so, you would have got all jiggly happy.
So the week in wrestling, Derek, tell me your final thoughts. What do you think? What do you think about this week in Lousy Wrestling Podcast history?
What I think overall wrestling, B+ for the week of wrestling.
No, oh, man, what are your hits? What's your hits? What's your misses? Not like your wife, but like hits and misses. You get it.
Let's see. Biggest thing, shocked that they pushed Finn Balor like they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably like my biggest hit right there is how fast they pushed NXT talent.
Finn Balor?
Yeah, how fast they pushed him over other guys who they were trying to establish before, like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Now they're just low card guys, and here you go, Finn Balor, up the ladder.
And I almost think
the new champion.
Yeah, but I think the ascension of Finn Balor is almost too quick because as soon as you go for the Universal title, where do you go from there? You lose the Universal title match because Seth Rollins is going to win that belt.
Oh, of course.
So you lose that match. Where do you go from there? You already fought for the Universal title. What do you do? Go back to the bottom of the card and start wrestling fucking Curtis Axel in the opening match?
That's
or
what?
That's
what I'm saying. Like, that's why I'm shocked they pushed him that fast.
So
like,
he should have had a couple quick wins. Like Neville had like a match like that against Curtis Axel. Fucking go for the Intercontinental title. Go in a feud for that.
They should have...
You know,
kept playing on the Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, like I've been screaming.
And then
screaming
you hit Finn Balor for the Universal title at WrestleMania or at SummerSlam next year. But
nah,
they did the same thing with AJ though. AJ came in, got a good reaction at Royal Rumble. Boom, he's in. 2 months later, he's in the title picture. You know what I mean?
And where is he now?
Over on SmackDown, trying
doing
to
a
do
job.
That. Yeah. Wait, he did take the pinfall there this week.
He's doing a job.
So I definitely think my hits would be, I think SmackDown was a great show. My misses on it would be to open the show with two people saying, we're not the show, our wrestlers are the show.
And yet they started
They're the openers, and then they go into Daniel Bryan with a yes chant, and then Daniel Bryan even came out at the end.
And got the yes.
With like, the yes that's chant what's with Ziggler. Shit. Yeah, so like...
They got to rely on
the there. Yes chant. The yes chant still the.
That's the thing that gets me. Like SmackDown is going to have to rely
on Shane and Daniel Bryan,
and Raw,
even though they're not part of the show,
and Raw is going to rely on the wrestlers because they don't need Stephanie and McMahon.
Raw was still way too long of a show, but the Miz segment could fall right along with the Sonny Boy thing. Even though I did feel like they got it. Done, you know, Randy Orton came out, interrupted him. It served its purpose and
got his little match in,
got the thing over, you know what I mean? So, I don't have as much to gripe about the timing of SmackDown as I do with fucking Raw. The Raw is just too goddamn long.
You just want to be in bed by 11.
You fill it up with a bunch of wrestling, and it's almost too much wrestling,
too much. So you're giving me a pay-per-view on Mondays and Sundays? Goddamn.
Well, yeah, you think about that. You watch Battleground Sunday, which went 3.5 hours.
And
they
then
went
the next
over
night,
there,
you get fucking...
3 hours and 15 minutes.
And then the next night,
you
get another
2 hours.
And then on Wednesday, you get 2 hours.
Yeah, because you got NXT with the Cruiserweight Classic. And then you can watch Main Event and Superstars, too.
And then you can be like me and throw in some Lucha Underground and some Impact, and oh my God.
Raw is too much.
My television... has banned Impact from my TV. Like, legit. It will.
Well, speaking of Impact, let's lead into my match of the week. I'm going to find a theme song for match of the week, but we decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to suggest matches from week to week. I'll do a match, you'll do a match, we'll go back and forth. This will be match you can find on YouTube or really kind of easy, maybe even the network. Just they can be great matches, bad matches, just something we stumbled across during the week
that we enjoy,
and then we're gonna talk about, or we're going to just suggest for you.
Yeah,
we're not really gonna discuss it.
Oh hell no!
But we're gonna suggest it, so this is how we'll end the podcast every week for the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What were you gonna say? Go ahead.
Sounds perfect.
My match of the week this week, because you know Impact.
Final Deletion.
The Final Deletion, but because I watched the Final Deletion.
Oh my
God! Delete. so,
just spit it out, brother Nero.
Matt's wife, Rebby Sky. I had never seen wrestle, and I was like, this hot Latina girl with big boobs and a big butt. Let's see her wrestle.
And all I can think
that might
of
be the
obsolete.
Most
delete.
No, it might be the most like sexist thing I've said recently. But I was like, yeah, let's see it. Let's see what she had in in the ring. What kind of in ring skills. So I search Rebby Sky on YouTube. And the first thing that came up was Battle of the Bombshells with Rebby Sky versus Shelly Martinez. For Future Stars Wrestling, and I suggest anybody to go to YouTube and watch this match, because whenever you need a laugh of some okay, not awful, but not good whatsoever wrestling, with commentary from Disco Inferno. So
Ron Simmons lays his head down in shame. Yeah,
my Ron Simmons figure on the table just laid down. So it's just kind of a lot.
Damn.
It's just a lot of like Disco Inferno being like, these girls got great butts. So anything else you got to say, Derek, before we get out of here?
No, that's hilarious. I gotta check that out.
And it ends a Geary and we're out, right?
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.